Deuteronomy chapter 14. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1. You are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And the Lord has chosen you to be a peculiar people to himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. The pagan heathenistic nations around Israel had some superstitious beliefs concerning the dead. I don't know what these strange rituals were supposed to accomplish, but they were connected to their unbiblical superstition, so Israel was commanded to stay away from them. Death is terrible, but for the believer, it's an opportunity to display his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not do silly, stupid things, such as the things described here. Verse 3, you shall not eat any abominable thing. God determined which food was abominable or detestable. He set the standards for clean and unclean, and only he knows why he did it the way he did. 4. These are the beasts which you shall eat, the ox, the sheep, and the goat, the hart, and that would be a gazelle. The roebuck would be the robot would be a gazelle. The hart would be a stag. The fallow deer and the wild goat. And the what is called the pygarg, which would be an antelope. And the wild ox and the camos, which would be mountain sheep. And every beast that parts the hoof and splits the cleft into two claws and chews the cud among the beast, that you shall eat. That's it in a nutshell. You remember that. And then God doesn't have to list every single animal in the world and categorize them. Verse 7, nevertheless, these you shall not eat, them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the cloven hoof as the camel, and the hare and the coney, for they chew the cud, but divide not the hoof. Therefore they are unclean to you. And the swine, because it divides the hoof, yet chews not the cud, it is unclean to you. You shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. Of all the land animals, only those who chew the cud and have split hoofs are clean, according to God's standards, and suitable for eating. Verse 9, these you shall eat of all that are in the waters. All that have fins and scales shall you eat. And whatsoever has not fins and scales, you may not eat. It is unclean to you. No shrimp. Sorry. No lobster. My dad used to love bullheads. No bullheads. And, we used to have what was called a mud puppy. I grew up by a river, Wisconsin River, and us guys, we were always down by the river when we were kids, and we would build little dams going out to the drop-off with rocks, build them out of pretty good sized rocks. We'd build dams, and I don't know what the real name of this creature was, but we used to call them mud puppies. I don't know, they looked like a big fat snake. They'd stick their head up between the rocks, and then we'd throw rocks and try to crush them. No mud puppies, can't eat a mud puppy, whatever in the world they are. Verse 11, of all clean birds you shall eat, but these are they of which you shall not eat, the eagle, and the ossifrage, which would be the vulture, and the osprey, and the gleed, which would be a buzzard, and the kite, which would be a falcon, and the vulture after its kind, and every raven after its kind, and the owl, and the nighthawk, and the cock-crow, which is a gull, seagull, whatever, and the hawk after its kind, the little owl, and the great owl, and the swan. Verse 17. And the pelican, and the gear eagle, that's a carrion vulture, and the cormorant. and the stork and the heron after its kind, and the lapwing and the bat. Can't eat a bat. Well, all of the unclean fowl had at least one thing in common, in case you haven't guessed. They feed on dead and decaying flesh. Now, it's a good thing God created them, because they keep the wilderness clean. They help keep the planet clean. But don't eat them. They eat rot. You don't want to be putting that in your body. Verse 19. And every creeping thing that flies is unclean to you. They shall not be eaten. So all flying insects were unclean. You could eat crickets and grasshoppers and insects that hopped, however. We learned that in a previous book. Verse 20. But of all clean fowls you may eat. You shall not eat of anything that dies of itself. You shall give it to the stranger that is in your gates, that he may eat it, or you may sell it to an alien, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. You shall not see the kid in its mother's milk. Let's hold our thought on that one for a second and just take the first part of verse 21. When the Israelites slaughtered an animal for food, the jugular vein was cut so that the blood was drained before the meat was eaten. Now, if an animal died of itself, that obviously wasn't done. The blood was not drained, so they could not eat it. And now, to this matter of not seething a kid in its mother's milk, this had to do with a heathen fertility ritual. They would boil a kid in its mother's milk. And then they would boil it to death, and then they would take that milk and sprinkle it on the field as an offering to their fertility god. God says, don't mess with that. I mean, not only is it cruel, but it's also pagan ritual, idolatry. 22, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed that the field brings forth year by year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, and tithe of your corn, of your wine, and of your oil, and the first things of your herds and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And this refers to a second tithe, actually. The first 10% of everything went to the Levites. That left 90% for the people. But here we see that the people were to take 10% of that 90% to the sanctuary and enjoy a meal with it. And then anything left over was given to the on-duty Levites. Again, God providing for the people who are in full-time ministry. Verse 24. And if the way be too long for you, so that you are not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from you, which the Lord your God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then shall you turn it into money, and bind up the money in your hand, and shall go to the place which the Lord your God shall choose. And you shall bestow that money for whatsoever your soul lusts after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever your soul desires, and you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. This is just a wonderful section of Scripture. Some Israelites would live so far away from the sanctuary that it wouldn't even make sense to herd or carry their tithe way to Jerusalem, you know, if it was an animal. What happens if it broke a leg or got some other kind of blemish along the way? Then it couldn't be offered to God. And God certainly didn't want the law of the second tithe to be a pain to his people. God's not in the business of making things harder for his people than they need to be. Verse 27. And the Levite that is inside your gates, you shall not forsake him, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. And how many times has God said this? I doubt that any one family would be able to consume the entire second tithe of everything. That's for sure. And as a result, the Levites probably end up with a large amount of provisions. God made sure they got paid well. 28. At the end of 3 years, you shall bring forth all the tithe of your increase the same year, and shall lay it up inside your gates. Now watch this, verse 29. And the Levite, because he has no part nor inheritance with you, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are inside your gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands which you do. So God is trying to drive home the point that he wants his people to share. And he made it a part of the law. And so here we see another tithe. Every third year, the second tithe was to be kept in the person's hometown. It was to be set aside for the Levites and the strangers and the poor in their particular area. And God promised to bless those who would faithfully share. Whenever you sacrifice anything to help others who have needs, it makes God happy. And this is what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 is talking about. God says, do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.